The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fitzroy, and you are listening to Cracking the Nature Code. Whales singing pop music, termites going to architecture school, ants harvesting in their farms. These and other such oddities of the natural world have fascinated me, as countless other humans throughout history. If you are curious like me, or perhaps you're feeling like something's missing and you're experiencing life as simply mundane, join me to explore these mysteries with humor and humility to experience the world in a brand new way. To me, there are very few things in life as beautiful and whimsical as Tchaikovsky's Sugar Plum Fairy from the Nutcracker Suite that conjure up in me feelings of tenderness, joy, and hope. That coming-of-age story is filled with ancient folktale symbols, music created to penetrate the deepest crevices of our forgotten childhood, eliciting dreamlike visions of this enigmatic existence called life. As children, we are as creative as we'll ever be. Unbridled by education and responsibilities, our imagination and our feelings run wild and free, like birds in the sky or mustangs on the rolling hills. I remember being so dumbfounded by some of my earliest dreams, in which I fell from high places, and experience the uncanny, unsettling feeling of my guts pressing upward and squishing my lungs and heart from the gravity, sucking my body downward, as if being devoured by it. One might think that I may have fallen from the crib as a baby, and I had experienced the feeling of falling. But another recurring type of earliest dream I remember is one of being in the ocean. I remember seeing the reflection of the sky over the calm waters and swimming as fast as possible over the surface, swimming powerfully and then diving downwards and downwards and then turning back up and propelling myself with as powerful a movement as I could, catapulting out of the water, making multiple flips, seeing the surface of the ocean as I would fall down back into it. And deep again I would go and turn back up and see the surface of the water to repeat the process all over again and as many times as I wished to do so. It was such a feeling of joy, of power, of freedom, an ecstasy for life. How can such a dream be explained when someone has not experienced such a thing as a child? And this is a critical point that I want to emphasize because it is the foundation upon which I wish to begin surveying the concept of creativity. Imagination, the idea, is a prerequisite to any creative endeavor. And the idea is otherworldly when contemplated with the eyes of philosophy. As far back as the ancient philosophers Socrates and Plato, creativity was considered to be divinely inspired, and relatively recently, philosophers such as Descartes and Locke believed that ideas came from the soul. But before returning to this question of creativity, I'd like to take a step back and remind us of how we got here, to this episode. Maslow's hierarchy of needs has served us as a roadmap along this journey. We've taken care of our basic physical needs, as explored in the previous three episodes. Language for communication, shelter for protection, and food for sustenance. The next needs are those of belonging and love. And as I've pondered about this question and have observed nature over time, I have become convinced that creativity is a critical component. Isn't conception and birth the primordial creative event in our life? But how do we typically define and describe creativity? When we look at Merriam-Webster's definition, It describes it as the ability to produce through imaginative skill. Imaginative, defined as the act or power of forming a mental image, something not present to the sense or never before wholly perceived in reality. Aha, there it is. The idea from the great beyond. Something that has never before been wholly perceived in reality. At a more practical level, though, there are other definitions, and I like this one from Cal State University. It describes it as the tendency to generate or recognize ideas, alternatives, or possibilities that may be useful in solving problems, communicating with others, and entertaining oneself and others. But at a more fundamental level, I questioned what is the motivation for all this creativity? First and foremost, I think it is necessity, the need to develop solutions to problems. As the old adage says, necessity is the mother of invention, which originated from the writings of Plato in the Republic. But nature has been doing it all along. All species from their respective evolutionary level find themselves in an evolutionary struggle. However, the evolutionary timescale obscures these ongoing changes to us. Even so, recent research is bringing these findings to light. As a 2017 article in the Science Times reads, "Recent research into animals shows that animals are continuously designing innovative methods to finish their tasks. Examining the nature and results of their creativity can help us to understand evolution. Innovations in animals also lead to new species, as creativity paves the way for new niches and evolution." So, in regard to developing creative solutions to problems, it should come as no surprise to us that primates would figure out how to use twigs to reach inside termite mounds to capture termites to eat, or that they would use branches to test water depth in a body of water, or use trunks as makeshift bridges to cross swamps. It should come as no surprise that birds would figure out how to weave palm leaves and small twigs to build nests, or that, like crows, they would learn that if food is far from reach, there are ways to bring the food closer, such as when crows drop stones into water to raise the water level, to bring floating food closer to them. Or that even ocean creatures, such as the octopus, would use coconut shell halves, which have been discarded by people, to build shelter or for hunting these guys. Ultimately, it is necessity that challenges the organism to figure out novel solutions to current problems. But now, I'd like to turn my attention to the aspect of creativity in communication, which I find fascinating. For a while now, I have noticed how in nature, by far, the males of the species are the ones required to lure a mate and to demonstrate their capacities in various ways. They are the colorful ones, the vocal ones, the show-offs. Some showcase their physical power by battling other males. Some showcase their mental strength by demonstrating their capacity to provide shelter and food, while others showcase their aesthetic creativity by elaborating highly complex mating rituals. If you have ever seen the famous documentaries Planet Earth or Our Planet, you may have seen the incredibly complex mating rituals of the birds of paradise, such as the ones of the Western Parotia, distinguished by three delicate long feathers over the head. The male will spend its mating season days tidying up stage areas, meticulously cleaning every corner of the floor, and scraping the surface of tree roots to smooth out any imperfections. Then, they'll obsessively choreograph movements reminiscent of ballet dancing with their colorful feathers, some of which, along the hips, rise up like a ballerina dancing in a tutu. But what has surprised me even more so are the mating dance rituals of the peacock spiders, a species of jumping spider with an extremely colorful pattern over the head and the back. Once a potential mate is attracted, these male spiders fan their torso upward and out like a peacock bird, and the spider performs a ritual dance resembling a warrior or shamanistic dance. Then there are the courtship methods of the bowerbirds, which in some sort of interior design reality TV show have to compete against other males by designing the most elaborate and attractive stages, of which the centerpiece is a sculptural tunnel of about 1.5 feet in length, known as the bower, which is assembled using sticks and twigs. And they will decorate the surroundings with natural and or human-made objects, including flowers, berries, or glass. Those are examples of visual demonstrations during courtship. But there are also vocal demonstrations in mating rituals. The master of vocalization is the lyrebird, which showcases its abilities by developing the largest repertoires of mimicked sounds, including man-made sounds such as camera shutters, car alarms, and power chainsaws. Here's an example of that. For their part, male whales are measured by their musical repertoires in both quality and quantity. And no whale is more known for its singing than the humpback. Research has concluded that whales copy songs from others and make modifications to them to increase the variety and complexity of the songs. Moreover, the whales will keep track of which songs produce the best results. And those songs which are not as successful are modified and tested again in upcoming mating seasons. But whereas animal species showcase specific creative traits physically, mentally, or aesthetically, the human species showcases all the various types of creativity, from athletic feats to engineering marvels, to the elevated and beautiful artworks in sculpture, poetry, and music. We have been endowed with the creative capacities of all other species. It is important to recognize that as humans, we are not the end in itself, but rather just the latest link in the long evolutionary chain. All of nature is still currently evolving, each species still progressing, adapting, and generating new traits that in time result in whole new species. And in closing, I want to leave you with this thought. As individuals, we would benefit from contemplating on the fact that we are the recipients of all previous evolutionary innovation up to this point. We are benefiting from the natural processes as well as the struggles of all previous generations. In a real sense, we stand on the shoulders of giants. And that much power and benefit comes with a commensurate amount of responsibility as stewards of our current epoch, alive in this place and time. Our individual evolutionary journey places certain demands on each of us. And we must trust in our powers of creativity and ingenuity to meet the challenges each of us faces in life, with bold resolve and faith in nature, which continues to evolve in each of us as well as in each other organism on Earth. By consciously engaging with our natural creative powers, we fulfill exactly the role that our society and our ecosystems requires us to fulfill. And in doing so, we find fulfillment and meaning in our life. Creativity is the intention from the great beyond, communicated as an idea through imagination to the brain and brought into form by ingenuity and dedication. So, as long as we still have time to partake in this creative endeavor called life, I invite you to keep on cracking the Nature Code.